Hey guys, it's episode 593 of All Time Top 10. Welcome back to the future. Sorry, I couldn't resist. This week, we're continuing our tribute to our beloved Conan O'Brien, and we're following in his footsteps by taking a look to the future. In the year 2000, there will be good times had by us, and by us, I mean myself and the old boy himself, Ryan Blake, as we finish up our countdown of the best songs of the year 2000. Picks 5 through 1 coming up next in part 2. Folks, if you missed part 1, there's no shame in that, but you definitely should go back and hear part 1 first and get that wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so anyway, thanks to our social media friends. We're having some fun over there on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. Thanks to all who have been participating in one of my favorite activities, voting! Voting for the bonus track of the week and helping us reveal 3 more songs in our ongoing series, the ATTT 1000, the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard and our very reason for existence. This week we were getting quite funky with 3 all-time funk tracks from the 60s and 70s. At number 688, it is The Temptations, the psychedelic Temptations, I Can't Get Next to You. I was asking you guys, what's the best next song? It's got the word next in the title. Good suggestions here from you guys. The Next Episode by Dr. Dre. Next to You by The Police. Next to Normal by Lucious. And Time to Die, You're Next by a band called Void. Thank you for that. But we love I Can't Get Next to You. Our friend E. Eisen August on Instagram, that's my mom, says, great tune. And Helene Eisen, hey there, Helene. She says, always the amazing Temps. And we do love I Can't Get Next to You by The Temptations. At number 687, it is Sly and the Family Stone, Sing a Simple Song. I was asking you guys, what's the best song about the joy of singing? Good choices here from you guys. Singing in the Rain, Why I Sing the Blues, The Carpenters with Sing, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing by the New Seekers, Al Jolson and Cab Calloway, I Love to Singa, Sing Your Life by Morrissey, Sesame Street with Sing, Johnny Cash, Daddy Sang Bass, If You Want to Sing Out by Cat Stevens, Travis with Sing, and from Mystery Science Theater 3000, the song Sing Whenever I Sing. That's a deep cut from our friend DJ Hosteller. Thank you, DJ, for that. I'm not going to sing it. But yeah, we love Sing a Simple Song by Sly and the Family Stone. And at number 686, it is Lobby Seafray with I Got The. I was asking you guys, what's the best sampled song of all time? Good suggestions here. The Winstons with Amen Brother, James Brown, Funky Drummer, The Big Beat by Billy Squire, Syl Johnson, Different Strokes. But we love I Got The from Lobby Seafray. And if you don't know that one, you do know it if you've ever heard the song My Name Is by Eminem, because that's the one that sampled that one. And it's amazing. So check that out at number 686. Lobby Seafray, I Got The. Those 3 songs are now added to the mega playlist, and they're growing all the time. You can find those over at Spotify and YouTube. All right, let's get back into this one. Let's hang out again with the old boy himself, Ryan Blake, and talk about our favorite songs from the year 2000. Roll the tape.
A lot more to come. We have an amazing night this evening, but I think we're all very excited. We're having a good time. I think we should pause for just a second here. I think we should get serious. We should reflect. I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, we look into the future.
The future.
That's right. You choose the edge. Let's look to the future all the way to the year 2000.
In the year 2000,
You too will become very self-destructive and replace Bono with a far less reliable singer, Bonaducci.
You too will reveal that we wrote the song I still haven't found what I'm looking for after we went to four supermarkets looking for Boo Berry cereal. You too will reluctantly admit that the original title for our album, Achtung Baby, was in fact Oy Vey Mama.
Bono will catch mono from Alyssa Milano. The Edge will clip a hedge for Sister Sledge. Adam Clayton will worship Satan in Dayton. And Larry Mullen Jr. will be impossible to rhyme with.
The Edge will admit that he wears a knitted cap to take the attention off Bono's crap sunglasses.
The Edge will admit that the reason he wears knit caps is to cover the forehead tattoo that says, I heart Urkel. In the name of world peace, there will be a short commercial break, and then you two will continue hijacking Late Night with Conan the Barbarian.
Top 10 Songs of the Year 2000, Part 2.
The heart is a bloom, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day to let it get away. On the road.
And we're back. Hey,
oh
everybody.
My gosh, we're back.
Thanks. I didn't mean to wake you up. You've been asleep for a week. Sitting on I try to move you from my couch every day this past week, and you like wouldn't move. I thought he was dead, everybody.
It's very cozy.
It's a nice cozy couch.
It's the guy in the couch.
Welcome back, everyone. It is a week later. I am here with the great Ryan Blake, the old boy himself, and we're talking about the year 2000. Songs from the year 2000.
Yes, we are.
What do you think so far?
So far, amazing.
Yep.
Well,
can you remember what we did last week?
I think so. Yeah. Well, I haven't done anything between then and now, so it'd be a problem.
Believe me, I know.
I went to work
5 days, and came back. Yeah, thanks. anyway,
no. Usually, I'm super on it with everything like work and like being a father and stuff. But this week between podcasts, I can't do anything.
You can't think of anything else.
No, I can't. Yeah. I can't focus. I just have to bow out of life for a week and focus on this podcast.
He knows the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're back for part two, picks 5 through 1, coming up right now. We last left you, we were listening to Radiohead.
Oh, yes, we were.
And
Cacophony.
The Cacophony. Yeah.
It was a cacophony, and also some may say lavender-scented.
Oh, it's a lavender-scented cacophony.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the next title of your next album. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of merry old England, here is another band from there. And here's a debut album. This time from a band who would go on to be the biggest band in the world. They aspired to be the next U2, and they achieved that goal by the middle of the decade, being the stadium-packing, socially conscious, charitable band of do-gooders playing melodic pop rock with shimmering guitars. And in fact, the Hurley and I saw them live at the Rose Bowl a few years ago after volunteering for Oxfam, which is a longtime partner of Coldplay. We were getting people to sign a petition to help refugees, and I had to look it up to because I couldn't quite remember what it was, and it was the Stand As One campaign. And here's what it says from Oxfam. More than 65 million people worldwide have been forced to flee violence, conflict, and persecution. Millions more have left everything behind, fleeing disasters. Now is the time to stand in solidarity with them and tell world leaders that they must commit to do more for refugees and migrants. If you agree that we all deserve to live in safety, then please stand as one and sign our petition today. And this is from OxfamAmerica.com. The British rock band Coldplay has been among Oxfam's most high-profile and vocal supporters of the last decade. They have used their worldwide success to help Oxfam campaign in over 50 countries. In 2012 alone, Coldplay helped Oxfam reach over 100 million people worldwide thanks to their social media networks and Oxfam's presence on their world tour.
That's great.
Yeah. So they really are a great live band.
They're incredible. Yeah. And this is a steal.
Oh.
Definitely.
Wow.
Because...
Didn't know that.
What I remember about this band that... And it's funny that I remember having the realization that, you know, they were... I heard the album, Parachutes, and it was and it was good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It suited my, you know, young, alternative, whatever, indie, kind of whatever kind of thing I had.
Yeah. Well, you were a Radiohead fan.
Yeah.
They were sort of a cleaner, you know, not as experimental version of that.
I totally dug it. And while I was living in the city and I was working as a valet and I was got in this car, this full on yuppie, you know, BMW, something or other, and Parachute starts playing. And I'm like, oh, this is one of those that's going to cross over into adult, whatever. This is huge.
Yep.
Because it was totally that. It was perfectly that.
Yeah. Well, they got it much bigger after that.
Yeah.
You know, Rush of Blood to the Head, Clocks, and then X and Y would Fix You, and just keep going. And they're touring the world right now.
Yep.
Like, they're playing in Indonesia. I saw this thing, like, they're doing a world tour.
Well, I had a coworker tell me that she saw them at K-Rock, Almost Acoustic Christmas in... like 99 or earlier than that, when first time coming to the United
States. Before their first album?
Yeah. Like the first time they came to the United States, they played.
Because I guess they had an EP out or something.
Yeah, they must have. Wow. They must have. And that they, that was just crazy. Was, you know, he's like, you'll know us pretty soon or something like that.
Did you know that I worked at the Greek?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Did you see them there?
I did.
Huh.
2002, the Rush of Blood to the Head tour.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe the sound that was coming from the stage. It's those four guys.
Yeah.
Like, they made a big sound, you know, and I was really impressed, you know.
Yeah.
So,
there's a reason why they're at where they are. So,
yeah.
You took my number one.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
You're number one.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my
God. Right out of the gate of episode number two. Thank you very much.
Well, it was only going to be number two.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Anyway, let's listen to the lead single from Parachutes, the lead single in the UK, and the second single in the US after Yellow, and it's called Shiver.
That's the one I was going to pick.
Oh, good. See, that's the thing with these albums. Like, you're always worried they're going to play some song you didn't want to hear, but now it works out.
Yeah, I love this song. The octave thing on the guitar.
Yep.
Is so cool, the rhythm of it and everything. It's like in a 3-4 time. I mean, 3-4 time.
6-8.
Yeah.
It rocks pretty hard too. You know, like, you don't think of them as a rock band anymore.
Yeah.
But back then they really were.
Yeah. Totally.
Cool. All right. Let's hear some Coldplay. coming in at number five. Shannon says Shiver, Nick says Trouble, and Justin says Yellow. Now we're going to hear Shiver, number five.
Number five, Shiver.
I should have known better. It sounds so much like Jeff Buckley.
Well,
you know, I mean, that's like,
you know, speaking of which,
Buckley-esque.
Buckley did have an album come out that year, 2000.
Oh, is it Sketches for?
No, it was called Mystery White Boy, and it was live stuff.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Sketches came out in like 98 or something like that.
Okay. Before we move on, I wanted to mention we were talking last week about bands that have kept the same members for a long time. Coldplay is definitely one of them. Yeah, and much like their heroes, U2, they do that thing where every song is written by all four members of the band.
Oh, interesting.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no bad, you know, bad blood or anything. It's very smart.
Yeah, and
REM used to do that.
It's very difficult to keep a band together.
Yeah.
And I
26 years they've been around.
It's crazy.
They've been around since 97.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Not easy.
No. Let's go to number four. What do you got?
Oh, man.
Is it alternate time?
Yeah, total alternate. And
damn.
I'm going to go with, and I don't really know much about them, but I know that this is Air.
Okay.
I'm going to play this song, Playground Love. From Virgin Suicides, or it's for the music for Virgin Suicides or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another one that I just remembered it like needing to order this album a lot that year. Like it was blowing up.
Yeah.
It was everywhere, and it was and it was that whole like Moby kind of, that whole sort of thing that was happening.
That was that year too.
Moby Play was the year before.
Was 99? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Right on. But yeah, I mean, but that album was like, in the top 10.
Yeah,
for
it was massive.
An entire year.
Massive album.
Yeah. Bleeding into the year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this
that
one.
That sound, yeah, they're definitely on that same wavelength.
So yeah, and I don't know. I just.
What's the deal with Air, Ryan Blake?
What is the deal with Air? This album came out on February 23rd of that year. The version Suicide is a score composed by French electronic music duo Air for the 1999 film of the same name by Sofia Coppola.
I never saw that.
Yeah.
I heard it was good.
But the song is great.
Hmm.
And it's...
More headphone fun.
More headphone fun. That whole chill out. Ambient, good stuff.
It's a good time for it.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Number four.
Number four. Playground Love.
Like I was just mentioning that it occurred to me that maybe like that song and like the one, what was the other one?
Radiohead.
The Radiohead one, sort of giving a chance for jazz to get introduced into like popular music in a way.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe some other people haven't heard that kind of.
Ryan Blake's a jazzy kind of guy.
I love jazz, and that time in my life
we don't do jazz much on this show. Yeah. You need to work on that.
Yeah, well, you know, like that's kind of one of the foundations of my music heritage, you know, was jazz with my dad and his dad and listening to all that classic jazz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I was living up north, and you remember you and I saw some great jazz when we were up there. Incredible stuff.
Yep.
And
it's always great live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a couple venues up there that are known for just that. And I saw some great bands all over the place up there that are like world-renowned, and they just play for a room, you know?
Oh, that happens here in this town, too.
It's great.
Yeah.
You know, and...
got to get out there more.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really... I love hearing that stuff interspersed into popular things and kind of, you know, open up people's ears a little bit.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing that. Yeah. Appreciate it. Sorry I stole, but you know, we got rewarded in some ways. Yeah. Thanks, man. All right, let's go to number three. And what's the music industry's deal? What's the deal with the music industry
these days?
No, well, back then they were doing great, but there's always those stories about artists and labels fighting each other, and you know, for the creative control, and labels thinking they know what's best for the artist, and like, it's really sad to think there's probably like hundreds, if not thousands, of like great albums that are like on a shelf somewhere that no one will ever hear.
Yeah,
because it's stupid music business stuff.
Yeah,
you know. And so,
yeah. Did you hear like the Coyote versus Acme movie that was totally finished and like millions and millions of dollars, and it's shelved right now?
Oh yeah, that's right. Was that Chris Pratt? Who's doing it?
I forget who's doing it, but it sounds amazing. And I saw,
but it's just on the shelf.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we're not gonna put it out.
Weird.
And it's a completed movie.
I don't get it.
How is that beneficial?
Right. Well, how is it that Amy Mann made the best album of her career and her record label didn't want it and wanted it to just not come out at all? And it's crazy. Here's a bit from Wikipedia. Amy Mann took more control over the production of Bachelor Number 2 than she had for her previous albums. She collaborated again with multi-instrumentalist John Bryan and said, "It's very easy to just sit back and let John go. So this was the only record that I really took responsibility for all the music, all the parts that were played, the way everything sounded. The dodo of the album title reflected Mann's sense that singer-songwriters were a dying breed in 2000. So this is Bachelor Number 2, or The Last Remains of the Dodo. That's the album. Okay. A little more from Wikipedia here. It says, Mann's frustration with her record label Geffen inspired many of the songs. She described playing her new songs to Geffen's staff, who would complain that they did not sound like commercial singles. She said, quote, "You just feel like you're failing all the time. The upshot of that is that I started to be unable to write because their reaction made me feel like I wasn't good enough. So I just started to have a lot of writer's block. I think the only way to deal with that kind of situation is to just write about what you're feeling." She wrote "Nothing Is Good Enough" in response, which is on that album. Geffen refused to release Bachelor Number 2, feeling it contained no hit singles. In response, Mann sold homemade EPs of her music on tour, a move she described as a, quote, DIY fuck you record company, I'm selling it myself gesture.
Yeah.
When Geffen gave her the opportunity to leave her record contract, she took it. She said later, "I could not have gotten out of there fast enough."
Yeah.
So she formed her own record label, Super Ego Records. She used the royalties earned from the Magnolia soundtrack to buy out master tapes from Geffen and never looked back. The result speaks for itself here. In this lead-off track, we're going to hear, co-written with the great John Bryan.
So this is like the first thing post Magnolia.
Yeah. Well, there are songs from the Magnolia soundtrack that are on this record too.
Oh.
Yeah, there's three of them. Was it? I wrote it down. Deathly, and Driving Sideways, and You Do. Well, they're all on the Magnolia soundtrack, but they also appear on this album. But this is the opening track. This is How Am I Different?
You know,
from Amy Mann.
You know, John Bryan for me is
he's a genius.
It's Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah,
he did that one.
Yeah,
and he's at Largo all the time, which is somewhere near.
It's worth seeing for sure. I don't know if he's still doing it. I think he is.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah,
one man show using loops I've heard. And
yeah,
the whole stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Sounds interesting.
Our friend Kevin says Red Vines from that album, but I'm gonna play opening track, How Am I Different?
Cool.
And it's number three.
Number three, How Am I Different? Thank you.
So there are some amazing people that worked on that record, including Juliana Hatfield, Amy's husband, Michael Penn, Grant Lee Phillips, Brendan O'Brien, and the great Benmont Tench of Tom Petty's Heartbreakers. One more thing. Like I said, the critics ate it up when it came out, including Rolling Stone. And here's what Pal O the Pod, David Wilde, who has to say about it. He wrote this in 2000. Before the release of the Magnolia soundtrack, Amy Mann was undervalued for years by the music business. So her independently released latest effort, Bachelor Number 2, could also be called Sounding Great is the Best Revenge. It's an album of tuneful, intimate pop rock songs, a few of which will be familiar to Magnolia fans. The highs, including The Fall of the World's Own Optimist, a collaboration with Elvis Costello, and the exquisite Red Vines are stunning. There are also some understandably nasty notes to music biz schmucks, such as the catchy Calling It Quits and Nothing Is Good Enough, which contains perhaps the lowest blow of all. Quote, critics at their worst could never criticize the way that you do. Your heart almost goes out to the record business, but not quite.
Yeah, you know.
Thank you, David Wilde.
It's funny because, like, she's clearly so talented.
I know, right?
And that she's not just mega famous, but, I mean, it. Like, what if it had not been for Magnolia?
I know. I mean, she had till Tuesday before that.
Well, sure.
That was so many years before.
You know, yeah. But that, like...
It was, like, 87 or something.
Like, it's just a shame because there's ones that are, you know, just as good as her who have not even been noticed as much as she has, you know. There's so much talent out there. The amazing songwriters that never get their due.
That's right. It's the last remains of the dodo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great. Anyhow, let us do number two.
Oh, boy.
Your last one.
First of all, why can you not hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom?
This is the dad joke of the week. Why can you not hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom? I don't know why.
Because the pee is silent.
I should have seen that one coming.
Oops, I did it again.
Brittany.
Yeah, so.
Brittany, all right.
Mine, this is number two, right?
Yeah. And yeah. This sounds great on headphones, by the way.
So, oops, I did it again. You. May 3rd, 2000. Sold 20 million copies worldwide.
Crazy.
When I was...
I'm glad you're playing some pop.
Yeah.
Because pop music was huge at the time.
Well, this is kind of... NSYNC. I'm representing that. Mm-hmm. Backstreet's Black and Blue came out.
Yes.
NSYNC's No Strings Attached came out.
Bye, bye, bye.
This one came out. What I wrote here, just working at that music store at the time, there was, and I see these albums that are just massive, you know, and I mentioned Santana's Supernatural the year before, Buena Vista's Social Club the year before.
Yep.
Britney's One More Time the year before. Chieftains, and then even the Harry Potter had a book that came out when I was working there, and it was like a midnight, like...
Oh, at Borders?
Totally. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. You know? I think it was massive then.
But
still is.
But Britney was, man, you've seen some of the like news with her and what she's gone through. Like, I can't even imagine experiencing what she experienced fame-wise at the time.
No, it's just... out of control. It was out of control.
Yeah, and it was out of control. They didn't have.
It was out of her control. Her father was controlling all of it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Like, I mean, it's still not good, but I think they're maybe being a little more reasonable these days than they were at the time with her. Like they were just
worked her to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how would you expect her to react when she flips out, you know, and yelling at people like she, yeah. you know,
she shaved her head as a protest.
Yeah.
Because they were working her too hard. Yeah. With kids and stuff too. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. There's a great podcast called Disgraceland, music and true crime and like sordid stories and stuff. And they did a Britney Spears episode where I think it was a 2-part episode too. And it was like the details of what she was subjected to and like forced to do and all this stuff. And
yeah,
conservatorship.
Yeah.
Her dad like wouldn't even let her like leave the house, wouldn't let her date, wouldn't let her do anything on her own. Like it was crazy.
Yeah. And she's an incredible talent.
Yeah.
You know, like her and the charisma that not everybody has.
Yep.
Great performer. And so, I'm going to play that oops, I did it again. has it been played on the pod?
I don't think so. I'll have to look it up. Spreadsheets will tell the tale.
Yeah. I know they will.
They always do. That's hilarious. This song is like insane on headphones.
Is it? Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard it.
No. Yeah, there's just all the panning. There's all like doing her little vocal fry thing. Like, I can't do it when she does. But
I mean, this is such a precise product.
Oh yeah, glossed over with. Extra care.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there was a formula and it was dollars.
It was dollars.
I'm hearing all this stuff about like K-pop that's happening now.
Yeah.
And the control that they have over it and the sound and the people involved in it.
It's the new generation of that. Yep. They were doing it in 2000.
And they're trying to, those K-pop kids, they're trying to look like what like these were like Britney and all that with the same kinds of dance moves and styles and all that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's of its time, but it's also you know
yeah,
timeless in its own way. Our friend Shannon says play Oops, I Did It Again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here it is at number 2.
Just one person. Just one person.
The great Shannon Hurley.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying,
hey man.
So nobody voted for Radiohead.
Right.
And just one person but that carries many votes, mind you.
What do you want?
Let me down, listener.
Stop. Let's listen. Number 2.
Number 2. Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah. you go. There's something I want you to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's about as like perfect production as you can get.
Yep, it sure is,
man. And like the studio musicians that
who are just perfect
popping that bass there.
Yeah,
it's pretty undeniable. You know, at the time I was like, that's so stupid, and it kind of is, but you know,
no, man, I mean, I get it.
Not stupid.
I get it.
Yeah,
just hitting all the buttons that for that. That fan,
the songwriting,
the demographic was
I probably had like 10 songwriters or something.
Yeah
The whole like
Babyface was one of them.
An army of technicians working on every inch of that track
for sure.
Yep, it's good stuff. Number one time.
It certainly appears to be so.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you covered some of the pop elements, because that was really, really, really big at the time.
Yeah, it was.
You know what else is really big is hip hop.
Yes, it was.
And there's no way we could do this episode without a little bit. And here's a list of hip hop / R&B albums that hit number one in the year 2000. DMX, and then there was X. Jay-Z, Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Carter, D'Angelo, Voodoo.
Oh, gosh.
Eminem.
That's another one, the D'Angelo.
Yeah, Voodoo is amazing.
That album.
How does it
That's
feel?
Another one that I can picture just in the huge display at the store.
Yeah, that song Untitled, it's incredible. Have you heard that?
I don't know.
It's incredible. Eminem, the Marshall Mathers LP.
Yes. Yes,
you know, the real Slim Shady, Stan.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's that's one of my
alternates.
Yeah,
Nelly with called Country Grammar.
Uh-huh.
It's getting hot in here. LL Cool J with Goat, Mystical. Let's Get Ready.
Uh-huh.
Ja Rule, Rule 336.
Jay-Z, like all of them.
Jay-Z, The Dynasty, Rock La Familia, a second Jay-Z album, and R. Kelly. With TP2.com. Yuck. Anyway, those albums occupied the top of the charts for 22 weeks.
Oh, you didn't mention. Oh, okay.
No, not yet. Because the album I'm going to play something from did not hit number one, hit number two. And that is Stankonia from Outkast.
Yeah.
Yeah, only hit number two, but still. Yeah, hip hop dominated during that time. And to me, the song Ms. Jackson is irresistible.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm listening to it again and putting together this list.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the lyric.
How do they flow like that?
Yeah, it's so crazy. That's like.
Like just physically, how do you get your mouth to do that? How?
It's Andre 3000. It's just he is unto his own thing. Like that is only him that.
Yeah, and Big Boy too.
Yeah.
You know, both of them really turn in amazing performances here. And I love how it's like, it's a hip hop love song.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like, you know, apologizing to the mom for an unplanned pregnancy, basically. And I love in Andre 3000's verse, he says, hope we feel this like this forever, 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 ever.
Yeah.
Forever, ever. But the lyrics like beyond that are, you know, that's funny, but they're also really, you know, really
honest.
Yeah. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-to-day ruler can't be too long. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he, asking what happened to the feeling that her and me had. I pray so much about it. I need some knee pads. It happened for a reason. One can't be mad. So know this, know that everything's cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation.
Wow. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It is. It's such a great song.
Yep. Yeah. Ms. Jackson. We're gonna play some Outkast, and our friends Nick and Shannon agree, and it is number one.
Number one, Ms. Jackson.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, 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 baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
My baby is drama, mama. Don't like me. Doing things like having the boys come from her neighborhood to the studio trying to fight me. She need to get a piece of American pie and take her bite out. That's my house. I disconnect the cable and turn the lights out and let her know her grandchild is a baby and not a paycheck. Private school, daycare, shit, medical bills, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I ain't the only one who lay down. She wanna rip you up and start a custody war. My lawyer, stay down. She never got a chance to hear my side of the story. We was divided. She had fish fries and cookouts for my child's birthday. I ain't invited. Despite it, I show her the utmost respect when I fall through. All you do is defend that lady when I call you.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
Me and your daughter got a special thing going on. You say it's puppy love. We say it's full grown. That we feel this way forever. You can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. Miss Jackson,
times out of nine. Now if I'm lying, fine. The quickest muzzle, throw it on my mouth and I'll decline. King meets queen, then the puppy love thing. Together dream about that crib with the Goodyear swing. On the oak tree, I hope we feel like this forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-by-day ruler can't be too wrong. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder. Thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he. Asking what happened to the feeling that her and me had. I pray so much about it, need some knee pads. It happened for a reason, one can't be mad. So know this, know that everything's cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
So,
did I mention I'm a white guy?
Oh yeah, no, you heard me try to say that forever ever thing earlier. It was really embarrassing.
I can't spit rhymes.
Andre 3000 fans rejoice! He has a new album that comes out tomorrow.
I read about that. Yeah, that's huge.
It's called New Blue Sun, and it's his solo debut, and it's the first thing he's released since the last Outkast album 17 years ago. And it's hilarious. This is a bit from Rolling Stone. Part of finally coming around to releasing a new body of work was the condition that he would do it in his own terms. New Blue Sun isn't the rap album many listeners might have expected Andre 3000 to return with. Instead, it's a collection of instrumental offerings on which he plays a myriad of different flutes.
Is that for real?
Yeah. He says, quote, I have songs, but it's not like rap things that I really feel happy about sharing. And really, that's the most important part. I have to feel happy about sharing it. That's why New Blue Sun was something that I realized, whoa, I really want people to hear it. I really want to share it. That's my only gauge. I have to like it as a person, as an artist myself, because if I don't like it, I can't expect nobody else to like it. I can't pretend in that way. It's always been hard for me. So yeah, it's just all instrumentals and he's playing flute.
Has anybody heard any of it?
I think one of the songs is out now. I mean, by the time this comes out, it'll be out.
Yeah. I'm curious.
But yeah, it's hilarious. Here's a few song titles from this
album.
Variety of flutes.
Interesting.
He plays the flute. Here's a song title. This is the opening track. It's called I Swear I Really Wanted to Make a Rap Album, but this is literally the way the wind blew me this time. Next song is called The Slang Word Pussy Rolls Off the Tongue with Far Better Ease Than the Proper Word Vagina. Do you agree? The last one, I mean, there's more, but this is the third one. That night in Hawaii when I turned into a panther and started making these low register purring tones that I couldn't control. Shit was wild. That's the name of one of his flute songs.
Fascinating. I can't wait to hear what that's going to be.
Yep. Man. Anyway, that's number one, Outkast. Your list, Rand Blake, everybody.
I look forward to the day when I can release music or an album like, you know, with me playing a variety of flutes. and it just, you know, that's going to sell really well.
Andre
3000's album is going to sell really well.
It will. Yeah. He was playing it. I read he was playing it for a lot of his hip hop friends, and they like said that they wanted to rap over it.
Hmm.
They were like, they really liked it, and like they wanted to like use it as a.
I can't wait to hear it. So that's fascinating, interesting
variety of flutes. Anyway, that's our list. Thanks so much, dude. We will be right back with our honorable mentions, and we'll get to that shortly. But right now, it is time for the bonus track of the week for part two. Thanks to everyone who made your picks and everyone that voted. Check it out.
As chosen by our listeners on social media, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week selected by our friends over there on social media. Okay, I hope you guys have enjoyed this little jaunt back to the year 2000 with our friend Ryan Blake. Thank you so much, Ryan Blake. You're the best. Anyway, let's play one more track. These are the songs you guys were voting on social media to be the bonus track of the week for top 10 songs from the year 2000, part two. We had Papa Roach with Last Resort. We had NSYNC with Bye Bye Bye. We had U2 with Beautiful Day, which was actually tied with the one that's the winner. I'm making an executive decision. And I'm going to pick the winner from those two. And the winner is Madonna with Music. Music helps the people come together. And thank you so much to our friend Shannon Hurley, the great Shannon Hurley, the Numbers Girl's best friend. She wanted to hear this one. And she also suggests Don't Tell Me from Madonna. Music by Madonna will be the bonus track of the week. Check it out.
Listener pick.
Hey, Mr. DJ. Put a record on. I wanna dance with my baby.
That's the bonus track of the week for top 10 songs from the year 2000.
Yeah, I didn't expect that twist ending.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed like a standard pick to me.
Are you going to, are you going to play the ending of that song?
No.
Okay.
No, are you kidding?
Yeah, I
it's a family show.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, Elizabeth Eisen, is that who can't hear it?
Sorry, Miss Eisen.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to apologize to her for one of my also-rans.
Which ones are that? Are those?
Should I?
It's time.
Oh, is
the
it?
Time has come. Which
oh,
ones?
Gosh.
Which ones are they? Oh. Get your phone out. It's time for your honorable mentions.
That one that I was going to apologize for is "It's a Motherfucker" by the Eels.
Yeah, I had a song from the Eels on my alternate list as well. We'll get to that. What else you got?
I've got "Airline to Heaven,"
hey.
Billy Bragg and Wilco. Judith, "Perfect Circle," "Ex-Girlfriend," "No Doubt."
Oh yeah.
"Bye Bye Bye" in Sync. "Stan" from Eminem. "I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow," Soggy Bottom Boys from the "Oh Brother We're Out Though."
Nice. Yeah, that was the band. Music was all over the place.
Yeah.
During that time. I mean, we played a lot of variety. We didn't play any bluegrass, though.
I was so close to playing that song, but yeah. There was a South Side that had Gwen Stefani on it that came out in 2000, but
I don't really like that song.
Yeah,
that song bugs me though. I like Gwen Stefani. I like Moby. Yeah. I don't really care for that song.
Yeah, but that's it.
That's great, man.
That's it.
I've got quite a few more myself. I want to mention "Change in the House of Flies" by the Deftones. Probably the only new metal song that I like. Also, Mr. E's "Beautiful Blues" by the Eels. That's another, has a swear word in it.
Yeah.
Goddamn right. "It's a Beautiful Day." I want to mention Porcelain. No, not Porcelain. That's from 1999. What am I talking about? "Stan." You said "Stan."
I did.
And I said "Stan," featuring Dido. Don't forget Dido.
You're right. Right.
Because Dido rules.
That Eminem. Dido's album, was that the year before, maybe?
That was the same year.
Oh, it was. Dido Angel?
Yep. Pretty sure. I'll have to look it up. Sorry.
I can't imagine it was. I'm going to have to fact check you.
We'll have to look
it
up. And
I'm disappointed that you even said that live on the air.
Oh, my God. I got to mention the Dandy Warhols, "Bohemian Like You." Got to mention the Supreme Beings of Leisure. Shout out to our good friend Rick Torres, who's a founding member of the group Supreme Beings of Leisure. They had their debut album that year. So I was going to play Sublime from that. The Bare Naked Ladies with "Pinch Me."
Yes, man.
No, that's a different album. "I Just Made You Say Underwear." That's that one. The other new metal song I like is "Last Resort" by Papa Roach.
2001, Dido's "Angel."
What?
No Angel. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now we know.
So it came out like after "Stan."
Okay. But "Last Resort" by Papa Roach came out in 2000.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Quality.
Yes, indeed. "Try Again" from Aaliyah, produced by Timbaland. It's a fun one. Matchbox 20 with Bent. The one song of theirs I like. I actually have one or two I like, but yeah. And then, yeah, "Everything in Its Right Place" by our friends from Radiohead. Off of Kid A. There you go. Ryan Blake, everybody.
The Iceman, everybody.
The Iceman cometh.
Thank Keeping you. The love of music alive.
Hey, you. Well, I have to have help.
Yeah, well.
And thanks for coming out.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Everyone, if you like what you hear, you should subscribe to this show. And you should do it wherever you get your podcast, be it Google Podcasts.
That's a good foot block.
Be it, I'm blocking a cat as I speak, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those places that you get podcasts.
Sounds good.
All right. I think we're out of here. What do you say?
I'm ready to go and listen to some music on the way home.
Yes.
And yeah.
Never enough.
Never enough.
That's right. Thanks so much, dude. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, and thank you for introducing me to some songs that I'm not super familiar with. And
likewise,
what it always does for me. It's great.
How about the variety on that list?
Yeah,
I'm very impressed.
And female centric.
Some.
Yeah. Four out of ten.
4 out of 10, is it? Yeah. All right. Good for us, I guess. Anyway. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Say goodbye, Ryan Blake.
Goodbye.
Yes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're going to wrap this thing up right now. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, peace out.
I can't spit rhymes.